Bibles to Acts chapter 13. This is Paul's message to the people in the synagogue at Antioch. And I want to read part of it. Matthew, Lord willing, will cover the second half of the message and finish the chapter. But again, as you read something, I think it helps to think about the situation. So Paul has come to this city. It's a synagogue, so they follow certain patterns. And, you know, they're going to say, okay, if you have some word of exhortation, just tell us. But what he was about to tell them was not what they were looking to hear, right? And so you have to keep that in mind. You know, they're looking for something with a Jewish flavor to it. And so this is pretty gutsy on Paul's part to go ahead and do this. But I think if you keep that in mind as we read these verses, you'll picture the people in the audience as their eyes get bigger and bigger at the things that Paul is saying. All right? So let's pray and then we'll begin. Father, again, many have prayed, but we just simply commit the time to you and ask that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. We thank you for your word, the infallibility of it, the eternality of it, and we just pray that it would speak to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I will begin reading in verse 14, where it says, "When they had departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, I don't know how to say it, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, 'Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.' Then Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, 'Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time, about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.' And from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem, the rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead." I'm going to end reading right there. But I would ask that you keep in mind that there's so much more to this. The thing that I want to say in the beginning is that what I would like to accomplish here, and this one shut off, is that not only do I want to talk about what is said, but I also want to talk about kind of how it is said. I don't know if I've told you about my friend Femi over in Africa. He's a young man, very gifted young man. And he said to me on one of my latter trips, he goes, I'm not even going to listen to what you say. I'm just going to pay attention to how you say it. You know, and there's a lot of wisdom in that in terms of how something is said. And so I think there's not only the content of what is said here, but how Paul goes about saying it, and therein is the application to us. How do we communicate the things of God? When we're talking to somebody, do we have an idea where we want to end up, and then how do we get there? You know, breaking it up into steps. And so I find these messages in Acts fascinating to think about how these things are said. And so, but before we get started on that, I wanted to remind us a little bit of how the thought flow of the book of Acts has been going. Brother Gooding, in his way of breaking things down, reminds us that at the beginning, in the first six or so chapters, the issue there was, did it die? Oh, there we go. Okay. I think it's okay. Should be warming up. Oh, no, I don't want to shut it off. Did it die? No, there's something there.
We have your board, but not this.
That is interesting. Okay. Let me try something here. Try it again, see if it does anything. Okay. All right, we'll go to plan B.
Are you ghosting? Oh, okay, I see. You're ghosting from two
I'm
top
using,
at the same
yeah,
time.
But I don't know why it's not picking up. Let me do this. I'll try this step first. Okay, so as you want to put your plug this back
in.
So as we start to think about this, remember the first section of Acts is talking about the fact that the deity and the messiahship of Jesus, those first six chapters, there's a five and a half chapters, right? That Christianity is going to progress to be different from Judaism, but there's not an immediate break. So that's the emphasis in those first chapters. The next issue has to do with second section is has to do with the resurrection and the Lord being present in heaven, and that the temple would become obsolete. And you got to again think from a Jewish mindset. That temple, the whole religious worship, was the most important thing here on earth. But remember what was said in John with that woman at the well, that something's going to change. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. You're going to worship in spirit and truth. And so that's another major step. And so you see these things starting to move away from the practices of Judaism. Well, the next section, chapters 9 through 12, it would be on this whole issue of holiness. What is holiness? What is godliness? And then as we move into this next section, it would be this whole idea of circumcision. Circumcision was the thing that a Jewish man would have done. It sort of represented the whole of the keeping of the law. And so this whole issue of circumcision comes up in this section, that it is not necessary, as in chapter 15. And there are more things that will come out of that. But just remember, the person of Christ, the issue of the temple, what is holiness, what is religious ritual, and these things are being addressed as you go through the book of Acts. And so, and also remember that there's some markers along the way. Chapter 6 and verse 7, it talks about the word of God increasing. Chapter 9, that the church did certain things. Chapter 12, the word of God again. Chapter 16, the churches. And so you begin to see that Paul has kind of come to a conclusion and said, these are the things that are happening. These are being blessed. And so there are markers right in the text showing us that things are kind of coming to an end in one section and moving to the next. Now, I don't know if I can get all of this on the screen in one shot, But in our section here, again, one of the things that I don't always see, but want you to realize that there's a pattern to how these things are laid out. So as you look at the first movement, the preaching of the good news, that runs chapter 12 through 14:28. Second movement from 15:1 to 16:5. So it's interesting that you have Antioch's here compared in the two sections. And then you have the false prophet here in this one part, and you have false teachers here in this part. You have the different things about the descendants of God and the Savior Jesus, and that the grace of God, the Lord Jesus, would be saved. You have David and Moses in both sections. You have Old Testament quotations, and you have things pertaining to the Gentiles. And so again, I just want to remind us that there's an order to these things that we don't